had a good time at Sister Miriam's, and the church wants to say thank you very much to Sister Miriam, Sister Teresita, for having our nursing home ministry people over, and they fed us like kings and queens. They really, truly did. So we're thankful for them for allowing us to come by and share a meal with them. And then I was able to go by my wife and I to visit Miss Yvonne in the hospital while the rest of them went on to the nursing home. And Sister Yvonne said to tell you she really missed y'all today. Should be hopefully out of the hospital no later than tomorrow if everything goes well with the test. She had one more test they were looking at. They found her to be anemic. She had to have 2 pints of blood to get her back up to normal. So be in prayer for her that she'll recover, be back to church. She won't be back to church this coming Sunday. And let me say thank you to the classes again. This is a chart from the college and career age class of appreciation for a pastor, and I want to read it. It's kind of pastor down the left side. It says P stands for protective, guards his flock from Satan's snares. A is attentive, seeks to know his people's cares. S is sacrificial, for his sheep will give its all. T is for tender, listens to the Spirit's call. O is obedient, heeds the Master's command. R is reflective, considers he is but a man. Thank you, College and Courage class, and they all signed it on the back. And it is a privilege to spend time with them on Sunday morning and Sunday school hour. I've enjoyed that and got to know a lot about them, spending time with them. It's good to have David with us. David Norris, longtime friend of the church, moved up to Ohio and came back to visit with us a little while. So good to have David here with us. And good to have visitors with us tonight as well. We have a visitor from North Carolina over looking to move into the neighborhood and work down here, so y'all pray that he'll find a job and be able to find a home. Now, he has a job at the VA hospital, a home, and the Lord would lead him in that and direct him in that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Again, thank you for all of the cards and letters and texts and notes of appreciation during this month where we've set aside pastor appreciation, and thank you for being kind to include my wife in that as well. I definitely could not pastor without her. She is a great help to me as a person. So thank you very much for including her. We're going to continue our studies in a series that we've been looking at, Abounding in Christ. And we're talking about and have been talking about our standing in Christ. So I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 in chapter 1, and then we'll go back and recap a little bit. I know we had somebody in between since we talked about this last. We had a special speaker last week, so I'll recap a little bit and get us caught back up. Ephesians 1, chapter 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4, 5, and 6, sorry. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I started off 2 weeks ago with a story about a jewel seller and a rich man, and how they worked back and forth, and the rich man always seemed to be cheating him and getting a better deal than he thought. But the whole thing was, the rich man was putting the actual amount of money back in the box. The worker never opened the box and looked inside and saw the value of what was inside. And so I reminded us that we need to be very careful that we're always looking inside the Word of God, that we may be able to have a good understanding of the riches that we do have in Christ Jesus. And I think sometimes we don't do enough looking inward into the Scriptures to help us to be reminded of the riches that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And so as we looked at that, and I brought that thought out, reminded you that we are to be followers of God as dear children. Why does God tell us that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1? That's what it says, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, because we, the little child and that simple childlike faith and the excitement that a child shows towards those gifts that are simple. We recognize it around here too when we do the Fishers of Men, we do the Beautiful Girlhood mentorships, and the people provide a little bit something another. Boy, the kids go back there looking and they're excited to see. They're enthused about what's going to be given to them. And so we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear children. Because to be honest with you, sometimes I think we just get, our bodies get old, our minds get old, we get tired. But I'm telling you, salvation should never get old. We should be always excited about what Christ has done for us and what He's doing with us. And I am thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful He's still working on me. He's still busy trying to get things right, that I would reflect Him much better than I do and have done yesterday. And I pray tomorrow when I wake up that I'll be a much better Christian and much better man of God tomorrow than I was today. But that's only by the grace of God. That's only by God's grace. So we looked at, first, being chosen. We are chosen. That's what it says there in verse number 4. According to as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And I began to tell you that a lot of these Bible words we get afraid of sometimes, that we need to be careful not to be afraid of. They are biblical words: chosen, redemption, forgiveness of sin, riches of His graces, foreknowledge, elect, chosen. All of these are biblical things. There's no need to be afraid of them. They have biblical meaning. And we need to stay with the biblical meaning, not the meaning that men have tried to twist it around them there. And so every Christian, dear friend, was chosen to be currently, as we are, positionally in Christ. We are in Him, in Christ Jesus, through salvation, faith and trust in Christ, repentance toward God. And whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. And God has chosen us in that fashion that we should be. What's He chosen us for? And I told you last week, He's chosen us that we would present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is His purpose, His good will. He's chosen us that we'd be pure, morally, and blameless according to Scripture. He's without blame, and you know that's not in us. I cannot do that within myself. You can't do it within yourself, but through the power of the Holy Spirit of God and living for Christ and remembering that God has chosen us to be pure. He's chosen us to be blameless. He's chosen us that we should be without. Without spot and blemish. That's how He desires for us. Is it going to happen in our lifetime? Well, we're going to have to keep looking at this, because we have to understand this, that there's within this body a law, and that law is called sin. It's a nature, it's a desire to go contrary to the Word of God. And so in this lifetime, you are going to make some of us are going to make horrible mistakes. Some of us not so, but in the eyes of God, sin is sin. God says if I've broken one law, I might as well have broken them all, because that's how righteous God is. That's how righteous God is. But it's not in our doing that we will be presented blameless. It's in Christ Jesus that we will be presented blameless. And we need to pay close attention to that. The second word that I wanted you to look at, and we looked at chosen last week, 2 weeks ago. Now we're going to look at this word called predestinated. Look there in verse 5. Verse 5 again. Remember, these are biblical words. We don't need to be afraid of them. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, predestination is often misunderstood in the scriptures by folks because they have a preconceived idea, they have a pre-thought or pre-understanding of themselves, what they think it would mean, and they do not align it with scripture. Now, predestination is not a doctrinal confusion for those, confusion for unbelievers, but it is a doctrine. Dear friend, it is a doctrine of security for those that have been born again into the family of God. Now, this word, predestinated, it appears four times in Scripture. That's what it appears, four times in Scripture. Twice in Ephesians chapter 1 and twice in Romans chapter 8. I'm to be honest with you, dear friend, if the sovereign God of the universe had wanted us to think and wanted us to have an understanding or wanted us to have a belief system or a teaching from Scripture that says a certain amount of folks have been predestinated for salvation, he had to put more emphasis on it than these two scriptures, with these four scriptures. But within these four scriptures, if you look at them and study them, it tells you exactly what God is meaning and not what somebody wants you to think about. What it's meaning. So, in our text, the Bible tells us that God has predestinated us to something. What's it say? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good will and pleasure. Now look over in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. This is what it says. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, here it is, the redemption of our body. Back over there when it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ to himself, to according to the goodwill of his pleasure, the adoption, dear friend, if you line it up with Scripture, look at it with Bible, is the redemption of this body. Now this means that one day our bodies will be redeemed, but until that day happens, this body can be wound up and found in sin anytime it chooses to be. You will not be sinless in this body, but you should sin less and less. The more you walk with the Lord, the more time you spend with God, the more you are going to become like Him. And the more you become like Him, you'll become more holy. Be ye holy, for He is holy. Are we ever going to be holy in this body? No. But there's coming a day, to wit, the adoption is the redemption of this body. Now listen to me, kind of focus with me a little bit here. What I'm trying to think to say is it's like this. It's much like when we redeem a coupon. We take and exchange a worthless piece of paper. We get a coupon from the store. That coupon that says on there, $2 off for a bottle of Tide. That paper is worthless. You can walk around with that paper and it ain't going to give you $2 at all. It says $2. Well, what do you have to do with it? You have to exchange it. You have to turn it in. You turn it in. You got your bottle of Tide there. It's $4.99. You got your $2 coupon. You exchange a worthless piece of paper and they give you a $2 redemption. Get it now. Let's read again the verse here in Romans. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have of the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown unto ourselves, waiting. Wait a minute, I'm saved. Wait a moment, I have trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I thought I'd been adopted into the family. Yes, you've been adopted, but you have not been redeemed wholly and fully until you exchange this old body, worthless, for that glorified body, likened unto Christ. Don't allow this word to bother you. This word is, I mean, this, when it talks about predestinated us, this has given us more security in the believer. This is more evidence to the fact that we are going to be redeemed. Look again in verse number 29. Here we go. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wow. Well, how's that? I mean, the predestination fact, dear friend, is not that we're predestined to be saved, but the predestination fact of the Scripture is, once I am saved, it is God's will that I would be conformed into the image of Christ. That is where we're predestined to be. I'm not predestined to be. I have to come to a realization by the power of God and the preaching of the Word of God and the planting of the Word of God in my heart that I am a sinner and I am needing of God and I have failed and transgressed the law of God, and I put faith and trust in Christ, and I turn to God in repentance and I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I am born again at that moment. And from that moment, I am predestined. Well, when's that going to happen? Because you and I know as well as we're standing here that you have been mad this past week at somebody that cut you off in traffic. God didn't get mad at nobody when they was leading him up to the cross of Calvary. Why didn't we act like Christ? Why at that moment when they cut us off, why didn't we say, well, wow, Lord, he was going up to Calvary's cross after being the crown of thorns, after being scourged, after being spit upon, mocked upon, after being dragged into one court and another court and another court, and after being made a mockery of, he still went up to the Calvary's cross as a lamb led to the slaughter, he went dumb. When is it going to happen? As long as we live in this body, dear friend. As long as I live in this body, I have opportunity to get crossways with Brother James. I have opportunity to speak vile and ill towards my daughters because maybe they did something at home that they shouldn't have did or should have done. Maybe they didn't clean up their room or something like that. And were they wrong? Yes, they were wrong. If I've told them to clean their room, they should have cleaned their room. After all, that is part of the deal. Father, daughter. That's how God works it. Oh, wait a minute. Y'all got crazy around here or something, because I'm telling you, God has an order. I'm not a caveman. Listen, ladies. I am not. I don't drag my wife by the hair and say, get in the kitchen, you barefooted thing, you're about to have another child. That ain't how it works. But as the head of the home, I say, Bentley, you live in my house. That bed, it looks like a rat's nest there. You got to clean that thing up. Well, this is 2018. She should have a choice. Sure, she has all kinds of choices. Like finding a new address. That's a good, quick choice, right? I mean, you don't want to make your bed. Get your own address. Own apartment. They lease them out there. They're everywhere. You get Zulu app. Download it. I need an apartment. My dad said, I got to make my bed. I ain't making my bed. Go get you. That's a good choice. All kind of choices. But the choice ain't that she's just going to stay in there and just not make her bed. But listen, how I respond to her afterwards when she disobeys is also a choice. I can go back and talk one more time. Honey, I told you, you got to clean this bed. You got to make this room. You got to get this thing right. If you don't get it right, we're going to have to find you another place to live. And I'll call you haul tomorrow and get you loaded up. We'll take you down to the 7-Eleven. Yeah, we'll pass 7-Eleven. I'll buy you a big gulp. I'll buy you a big gulp on the way down to the Motel 6. And I'll put you up for 2 weeks. And after that, I'm responding in kind. I'm providing for a little bit down the road, correct? It wouldn't have been good for me to go in there and flip her bed upside down, call her all kinds of names, and tell her she's worthless and good for nothing. That's wrong. So we both have choices, correct? So you have a choice. And God's choice was to go to the cross of Calvary that you and I might have eternal life. And we put faith and trust in Christ. And God wants to, and this is a blessed part here. Christ says, I'm working on you that I might present you spotless. When's he going to present us spotless? He's going to present his bride spotless to the Father. What's going to happen? At the day of redemption. This is an amazing thing, dear friend. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of God, and he's put deposit down on us. He's put a deposit down upon us in that he's given us an earnest. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Then read that again. In whom ye also trusted. After. Well, wait a minute. Some of these folks are teaching that some are saved, some not saved, some been chosen saved, some been predestined saved. No, that ain't what the scripture says right here, is it? After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance. Wait, until when? Until the day of redemption of the purchase, possession, unto the praise of his glory. Go back and read verse 5 again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I mean, predestinate. When is that? What is that? To wit, the adoption is adoption. To wit, the redemption of our body. He has so secured us that he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And on the day of redemption, dear friend, there's going to be that exchange. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, changed. Exchanged. Remember that worthless piece of paper? You remember what he said to us in the New Testament? He said, after you've done all you've done and done all that good stuff, you're still an unprofitable servant. Without Christ, we're just like that coupon. Without hope, until that exchange. This is the security that's in this here terminology of predestinated. It's so secure that he says, here, I'm sealing you until the day of redemption. And this is amazing stuff here. Until the adoption of the children, I'm sealed. There's a down payment there upon me. He placed the down payment. Well, wait a minute. I thought he paid my sin debt in full. He did. isn't that amazing? It's like a double payment, isn't it? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid our sin debt, but to give us hope and security and comfort and strength to be able to make it until the day of redemption, He has put a down payment until we get that new body. Wow. That's amazing stuff. This is amazing stuff. Why did He do that? He told us. According to His good pleasure. Didn't I say that? Let's read it again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Why did He choose to do it this way? It was His pleasure to do it that way. You know, He could have done it any way He wanted. He's sovereign God of the universe. He could have, Brother Felipe, He could have told you and me that we had to pay $1 billion to get to heaven. A whole lot of folks going to hell with it. I mean, when's the last time you were upon $1 billion, baby? Come on, you got it in your lunchbox. Don't you? Sister Meyer, you got $1 billion somewhere? Y'all been playing that Powerball, haven't you? Brother Victor, we'd be left out, wouldn't we? Wouldn't nobody be in the kitchen? Who would be up there? George Soros! God, hell! Who would be in heaven? But a few that could say, look at how, and look at what I've done. But it's by a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. You know why it's through His good pleasure? You know why it's through, want to know why it's through the grace of God? Because when we stand before Him, we stand there a worthless piece of paper that was exchanged by God Himself. The Bible says that it was God in Christ reconciling us back to Himself. And then He places a down payment on. You know what? He could have saved it. It's to His good pleasure. It's up to His will. You say, is that the only place? No, I read another place down there that said that. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption, purchase, possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now it's for His good pleasure, and it's because it will be to the praise of His glory. When men shall see your good works, in Matthew it says, they shall glorify your Father which is in heaven. So because of His good, you know why He chose us? You know why He predestined us? It was His good pleasure to do so. Why was it His good pleasure? Because it brought Him praise. It brought Him glory. If we could do it. And you know as well as I am. Brother Harry, I'll tell you, this is how I'd be. If it was the way some folks are teaching it, that people on this, that one say, this one say, that one, this one, this one, that one. You're not, sorry, you're not. Just you wasn't chosen, sorry, you ain't going to make it. If it was up to me and you, we'd look down from the portals of heaven. And we would boast. I made it. You wasn't worthy. We're just that sorry. We're that sorry. So when we all get to heaven, and we've exchanged this old body, and we've got that new body. Brother Harry, the authorized, gone. Sister Tadina, that knee, gone. Brother Phil with his cancer. Brother Gerald with his cancer. All this sickness. This young lady with bronchitis. Somebody in here else with cancer here and there. All that's going to be exchanged, and we're going to stand before God. Because it was His good pleasure. And it's for His praise and for His glory. And when we get there to heaven, we're standing before Him. It's not going to be because we are able or could or wanted to or needed to or just we had a desire to. It's going to be because He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. So it's because according to His good pleasure, He did it. According to the praise of His glory. Look at Ephesians. Look at verse 6 again. There it is again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Look in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Wow. You know, he chose us. Why predestinated? Why he did that? Because it was his will to do so, and it was by his, it was for his praise and for his glory that we were chosen that way. So our lives, dear friend, listen, our lives are to bring praise to him. Why? Because we're accepted in the beloved. Our lives bring praise to him because we're accepted in the beloved. We are chosen. What does that do? That speaks of our current condition in Christ. I am chosen right now. I am chosen to live blameless and holy. Be ye holy, for he is holy. We are predestined for what? One day, we're going to be just like Christ. We're going to know him as he is known. We can't really know that. In this flesh and body, we can't understand that. You know, the Bible says there in the Old Testament, when Moses says, I just want to see, he said, listen, if any man saw me, if any man, they would die. He said, do this for me. Get in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you and I'll see. Let you see my hind. Whenever he come down off that mountain, he glowed from just seeing just seeing a glimpse of the glory of God. Just glowed. Well, I thank God that I am accepted in him, because I'm telling you, if it depended upon me and what I could do and how I could do things, I wouldn't be too acceptable. I think most of the time I'm kind of like the old Navajo Indian. He owned a piece of land out off the reservation in New Mexico. And they started drilling oil around, hit an oil pocket out on his land. He became real, real wealthy. He took all of his money, put it in the bank. Still lived in the same old shack that he lived in. The banker became familiar with the way the old gentleman operated. Ever so often, the Indian man would come in, he'd show the bank, show up at the bank and say to the banker, grass all gone, sheep all sick, water holes dry. Without a single word, the banker then became familiar with him. Not a word. The old banker would go back there, take him to the vault, pull out his little money-saving change. He wouldn't even let him invest it. It had to stay in a saving vault. Pull out his money, put it on the bag, and the man would sit there for an hour or two. The old Indian man, he'd count his money, stack it here, stack it there. And he'd come out, put all the money back in, and as he walked past the banker, after putting all his money back in the vault, he said, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes are full. What's the difference? He's been in the bank. What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. It's an amazing thing, dear friend, if you and I come to this very simple agreement that we continually review our resources and count our blessings day by day. He hadn't been out there with a water hose, watering his grass. What was the point? The thing was, he had went into the treasure house, to the bank, and he saw what he had. He counted his goods, and he looked at it. I think too many of us are not going to the banker. And we're not counting our blessings. We're not opening up. We got our eyes on everything around us. Back hurt, sick, politicians gone crazy. The society gone crazy. People shoot people left and right. No value of life. We look around us. Some of them tell you you need to quit watching news because you're getting sad looking. You sit around and watch, Pastor, I watch Fox News. I don't care what you watch. You're still looking sad. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and all those there things. Every last one of them. You get around here, you come up in here, you're so worried. Listen, you're stuck in the mud. Get to counting your blessings. Pastor, it is bad. It is bad. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't have no idea. Well, here's a good thing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he had those 5,000 that were sitting around there, plus women and children that need to be fed, he looked at his disciples and said, y'all feed them. He said, we can't. we need 200 people. What are we going to do with that? And Jesus took some fish and some bread. He broke it. And he distributed. Our supply and our sufficiency is God in heaven. It's not men. Listen, I'm going to do my best. When it comes to this vote thing, I'm going to do my very dead level best to honor God. But you understand this. Men and women that are elected in are just simply men and women. They're not God. But I'm going to do my best. I want you to do your best to honor God. But come November 6th at midnight, when we know who's in and who's not in, dear friend, we better still be looking to God.
Amen.
Because God's the answer. God is the answer. Do what you got to do to honor God. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, don't sit around here come moping. Don't sit around here moping. Oh, this one got in, and you didn't even go vote. Oh, that one got in. Government is administrated by God. He places them in, puts them in, and God is well able to take care of them. Well able to take care of them. We need to be looking into the treasures. What a blessed treasure it is, Brother Jim, to know that I am one day going to exchange this old body for a body like Christ. I'm not going to be Christ. You're not. Don't get to thinking, well, one day I'm going to be a God. Oh, you're not. Not at all. You're not going to be a God, but you're going to change this whole body. And you're going to be able to worship thousands of eternity to come at the feet of the Savior. Check your blessings day by day. The last letter we was on was what? I, right? When we did our alphabet thing, y'all looking at me like y'all lost. Who's got the next letter? Yes. Joy of Christ. Yes, Jay. It has been Jay. Yes. Jesus. Thank the Lord for Jesus. What a blessing. Jay. Anybody else got a Jay? Yes.
Justified.
There's by words. I like them. Here to come. Justify. Another J.
Jubilation.
That's going to be a day. We change this whole body in. Yeah, that's going to be a jubilated day. Whatever day that's going to be. It's going to be joy. We're going to be jubilated. That sounds like some kind of exercise. They do an exercise. Right? I don't know if I want that one. Let's stand to our feet. Head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of invitation that we're going to enjoy a little fellowship together.